This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The separation of church and state. It's more than a concept. It's in the Constitution. The First Amendment of the Bill of Rights reads, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But almost from the start, Americans have debated exactly what that means. Charlotte was involved in that debate 2 Mondays ago when Mayor Jennifer Roberts suspended prayer before city council meetings, saying it was on the advice of the city attorney. But Bob Hageman, the city attorney, took issue with that excuse, and prayer returned the very next week. The argument is a little more serious, however, in Rowan County. There, county commissioners had been opening their meetings with a Christian prayer until a group of 3 Rowan County residents filed a lawsuit in which the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a lower court ruling that commissioners violated the Constitution when they opened public meetings by coercing public participation in prayers that overwhelmingly advanced beliefs specific to one religion. Rowan County commissioners have decided to appeal to the Supreme Court, and experts believe the court is likely to take up the case. So this hour, we look at the history of the case, at what courts have decided in similar cases, and at what's at stake here. We are joined in our studio by Josh Bergeron, a reporter for the Salisbury Post. Welcome to you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Freda Bluestein is the David M. Lawrence Distinguished Professor of Public Law and Government at the UNC School of Government, and she joins us from Chapel Hill. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Ken Klukowski is the Senior Counsel and Director of Strategic Affairs of First Liberty Institute. They are representing Rowan County in court, as well as a Michigan county involved in a similar case. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Chris Brook is legal director of the ACLU of North Carolina. They are representing the 3 Rowan County residents who filed suit in what has come to be known as Lund versus Rowan County. Chris Brook, thank you for joining us, too.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can join our conversation. You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook or get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. Just as a sidebar before we begin, more than 50 people are dead after a mass shooting on the Las Vegas Strip overnight. More than 400 others are injured, and it's being called the worst mass shooting in recent U.S. history. I think it's the worst mass shooting in U.S. history, to be specific. This is a developing story, and if there are updates, we will let you know as we go through the hour. Josh Bergeron, Salisbury Post, you've been reporting on this for a while, I would think. So let's start with you and get a little background on what's been going on in Rowan County. How long has the Rowan County Commission been opening meetings that specifically, with prayers that are specifically Christian?
From what we can tell, and of course, Chris can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe it goes back as far as, basically as far as they've had meetings. The period in question here is from 2007 to 2013, but there have been Christian prayers before that time period.
Chris, you want to give us a little clearer answer on that?
No, I think that that's basically right. The record in this case stretches from 2007 to 2013, so it deals with 143 meetings of the Rowan County Commission. 139 of those 143, or around 97%, of the meetings open with the legislator, so the embodiment of the government itself, delivering a prayer that is always specific to one faith, Christianity. Those prayers are oftentimes proselytizing. As a side note, the only 4 occasions where there was not a prayer that advanced Christianity in the record was one of the county commissioners after we wrote to Rowan County, highlighting that their practice violated the Establishment Clause. One of the commissioners toggled to a moment of silence to open up the meeting. He is no longer on the county commission. He did not win when he was on the ballot.
So when we say these prayers are Christian in nature, is it simply because, Josh, they say in Jesus' name at some point in the prayer, or they reference Jesus at some point in the prayer, or is it more to it? Is there more to it than that?
Yes, Jesus is certainly an example of a word that would make it a Christian prayer, and there are other words too. But words like God is, that's a word where you wouldn't consider it Christian, because you know, God is sort of a general term that many religions use. So
if this started in 2007, why did it start, and what were they doing in Rowan County to open commission meetings prior to the 143 times they've done this since 2007?
They were offering prayers prior to that as well, prior to 2007. Chris might be a good person to ask about why they specifically filed suit from 2007 to 2013.
And if I'm remembering correctly, it's really more of a logistical concern because the county commission posts video of their county commission meetings. And, you know, we knew from the three, and actually far more than that, Rowan County residents who had been in touch with us that this had been going on for quite some time. We're able to document it via the videos going back to 2007. But to amplify on the other question that you asked there, I mean, there are prayers that simply are sectarian by concluding with, in Jesus' name, amen. There are also prayers, and there are quite a few of them, that are actively proselytizing, talking about how the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. There was a commissioner who said, "I pray that the citizens of Rowan County will love you, Lord, and they will put you first in Jesus' name. Amen." Another commissioner in 2011 had a prayer that said, "Holy Spirit, open our hearts to Christ's teachings and enable us to spread his message among the people we know and love through the applying of the sacred words in our everyday life." That is quite a striking thing for the government to be encouraging the audience to
do. Ken Klukowski, you're the senior counsel for First Liberty Institute, and you are representing Rowan County in this. Do you take issue with anything that's been said thus far?
Yes, four things. But before we start, certainly at First Liberty Institute, we offer our thoughts and prayers to the victims and families in Las Vegas. This is a national tragedy. We don't know exactly what's going on yet, but at the outset, in light of the news day, we certainly want to express our condolences and our prayers for those who were tragically impacted by this terrible act. In terms of what we're dealing with today, the first time I would respond to is how you actually frame this, saying that the separation of church and state is in the Constitution. But then you went on, you did, of course, quote the language of the Establishment Clause, and thank you for that. The phrase separation of church and state is not in the Constitution. It comes from a private letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist in the early 1800s, and it was quoted by the Supreme Court in its 1947 case, Everson versus Board of Education. Now, Justice William Rehnquist, before he was Chief Justice, as he noted in dissent in Wallace v. Jaffrey, that metaphor is based on bad history and even worse law and ought to be explicitly repudiated by the Supreme Court. It is not the historical understanding of the clause. Rather, the historical understanding of the Establishment Clause, and this is what is the foundation of this case, is that the Establishment Clause forbids what the framers of the First Amendment would have regarded as an official adoption of government religion when the First Amendment was ratified in 1791. And the modern Supreme Court has added to that even things that might be historically accepted as not being religious establishments would also be unconstitutional in the eyes of the modern court if it coerces a person to participate in a religious activity that violates their conscience. But that's it. So long as it's not a historical adoption of an official religion, or the government is compelling a citizen to engage in a religion that violates their conscience, the Establishment Clause does no more. Anything else is just left to dealings through the ballot box or between private individuals when it comes to religion. The second point I would add regarding proselytizing prayers, none of these prayers have proselytized. And the Supreme Court, that phrase comes from a 1983 case, Marsh v. Chambers, the first time legislative prayer was taken up. Because some judges who are more on the left-leaning end of the legal spectrum started broadly interpreting proselytizing in the same way that my friend just did in earlier in this segment, to clean that up, Justice Kennedy, when they took up again the issue of legislative prayer in its 2014 case, Town of Greece v. Galloway, he restated it. He doesn't use the term proselytizing there. He makes it clear. Whereas Marsh says you cannot proselytize one religion or denigrate other religions, denigrate followers of other religions or unbelievers, Justice Kennedy restated it and said that legislative prayers cannot preach conversion or threaten damnation. He wanted to get very explicit as to what the bar was. In no instance here has the prayer giver called upon anyone in the audience to convert to the Christian religion. They haven't made it an altar call. Instead, the content here that my friends are calling proselytizing, that precise same content was found in the town prayers in Town of Greece, which the Supreme Court upheld. And if you look through the 15 years of prayers of the sole Christian prayer giver in Nebraska that led to the case Marsh v. Chambers, that content was also used for more than a decade.
Let me bring Freda Bluestein into this conversation. She's with the UNC School of Government, and you mentioned 1791 is when the First Amendment to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights was ratified. That's 226 years ago, Freda. Why are we still arguing over what this phrase means?
I'm not sure I can answer that question. I can tell you that this conversation, this back and forth that you've had a little taste of already, I think arises from this careful reading and parsing of the cases that we have. And there really are only two Supreme Court cases that address this. One of them is the Marsh case, which involved a situation where you had a paid chaplain who was making the prayers to the body, the legislative body, in that case. And the Town of Greece case, which addressed the issue of whether the Marsh holding would also apply to local governments. And what you have in these cases, including the most recent Fourth Circuit case, you have a set of facts, and the court, rather than applying a standard under the Establishment Clause called the Lemon Test that had been used for other kinds of Establishment Clause cases, they did, in the Marsh case, abandon that test and decided to look at it historically. So the argument in that case was, or the holding in that case was, because of the historic practice of the first Congress of providing a chaplain and having prayer, that these cases would be analyzed by comparing what is happening now to what they did then, on the assumption that they wouldn't have made unconstitutional something that they themselves were doing at the time. So these cases have lined up where we are doing this fact comparison, not really a legal analysis as much as saying, does this follow that tradition or does it not? And what happens in these cases is everybody agrees on what the facts are, but they disagree about what they mean.
And we only have about 30 seconds left in this segment, Freda, but does this case, the Rowan County case, if in fact it goes to the Supreme Court and they hear the case, does this bring something new to case law, or is this just a continuation of what's gone to the Supreme Court in the past?
Well, each case has something new. In the Town of Greece, which did address a local government setting and did address coercion and whether it's proselytizing and all those kinds of things, the wrinkle here is that the board members themselves are giving the prayers, and that was not present in any of these other cases.
Freda Bluestein is a professor of public law and government at the UNC School of Government. We're also joined by Josh Bergeron from the Salisbury Post and the two attorneys who are representing or working for the organizations representing and both sides of this case. We're coming right back. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Duke Energy, investing in technology designed to modernize the Carolinas energy grid over the next 10 years. More at duke-energy.com/future. And Charlotte Latin School, committed to helping children become lifelong learners. Open house on October the 6th for kindergarten and October 13th for grades 6 through 12. Information at charlottelatin.org. As you know, by now, more than 50 people have been killed in a mass shooting in Las Vegas overnight. WFAE and NPR are learning more about what happened, and we will keep you up to date throughout the day and in the days ahead. So keep it here on 90.7 WFAE, and we are coming right back.
A horrifying shooting overnight in Las Vegas becomes the deadliest in U.S. history.
Pretty terrified. I actually can't believe that this happened here.
His name is Stephen Paddock. We located numerous firearms within the room that he occupied.
That's next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International.
The Takeaway coming up at 2, here on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Josh Bergeron is with us from the Salisbury Post. He's a reporter there. Freda Bluestein is professor of public law and government at the UNC School of Government. Ken Klukowski is the senior counsel and director for strategic affairs at First Liberty Institute. They are representing Rowan County in the suit that they hope will go to the Supreme Court over a prayer before public county commission meetings there. And Chris Brook is the legal director for the ACLU of North Carolina. They are representing the plaintiffs in this case, who are three Rowan County residents, Nan Lund, Robert Volker, and I hope I say this name correctly, Lisa Montag-Siegel. Lisa is spelled L-I-E-S-A. Josh, are they the first to have a problem with what's going on up there, or have you heard rumblings from other people in Rowan County about this?
Like a lot of government meetings, they're sparsely attended. and so what you'll find a lot of times at Rowan County Commissioners meetings is that regardless of what people's backgrounds are, where they come from, what religious beliefs they have, they'll stand for the prayers. And so you don't get a sense from attending the meetings that people have a problem. The best way that you get that sense is when commissioners are talking about the matter, for example, when they decided to appeal the district court ruling, or most recently, when they have these public hearings, you see that there can be an even divide between people who support what their side of the lawsuit and people who don't like what they're doing. But I don't think it would be fair to say that these are the first people, but they're certainly...
Is the saying of this prayer something that is being promulgated by the chairman of the commission, by everybody on the commission? Are they unified in wanting to continue with saying these prayers among the members of the commission?
Yes, they are.
Why is it so important to them?
Yes, they are unified and wanting to continue saying these prayers. They unanimously voted both times to continue with the lawsuit, once for appeal to the circuit court, once for the appeal to the Supreme Court. And they really see it as a – from what I understand, they really see it as a First Amendment issue. In other words, they see it as, I should be able to say what I want to say. This is who I am. The people elected me and,
When you say that they see it as a First Amendment issue, that's because the First Amendment contains a number of different clauses, among them freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and, mm-hmm. of course, that Congress shall make no law abridging freedom of religion. We got into this debate in the last segment between Ken Klukowski, who works for First Liberty Institute. They're the organization representing Rowan County, and Chris Brook with the ACLU representing the plaintiffs in this case over whether or not these prayers were in fact proselytizing. So, Chris, you brought that word up, I believe. What does that mean? What is happening? What is being said in the prayers that you can historically document that constitutes proselytization?
Well, what the precedent says is that in this context of legislative prayer, that commissioners should not be advancing a particular faith or proselytizing on behalf of a particular faith. And this is an elemental concern in the way that we've set up our nation, an elemental concern in ensuring that everyone is going to be able to participate in self-government. There are prayers that repeatedly advance Christianity by suggesting that it is superior to all other faiths. It is the only path to salvation.
But is that proselytizing or simply making a statement of belief?
No, I think that's advancement. Then there are prayers that are proselytizing, suggesting that those in the audience should be going out into the broader community, mm-hmm. At the behest of government officials, and ensuring that people, in the words of one of the commissioners, carry the cross for Jesus Christ. this is some breathtaking stuff to be hearing the embodiment of the government, to be suggesting at governmental meetings from the dais right after the county commissioner, who is the chair of the county commission, tells everyone to stand up for prayer. And then the prayer deliverer says, please pray with me.
What
and
happens
that
if
goes
you don't,
directly
what
into the pledge.
What happens if you don't stand?
Well, what happens if you don't stand is that you are probably the only person who is not standing. As Josh said, these are sparsely attended meetings frequently. There was a conversation before this lawsuit began about whether this was appropriate for the county commission to be doing. A non-plaintiff in this case highlighted that there were other ways of solemnizing these proceedings without so firmly associating the county commission with this with Christianity. That woman was actually jeered down, booed down by the audience. So, yes, there is a real stake here that Nan, Bob, and Lisa have in this circumstance, which is that they do not feel like they're as effective as advocates for causes that they have in front of the county commission. They do not feel welcome at those meetings, and they have been on occasion singled out for opprobrium by the commissioners themselves, who have accused them of engaging in persecution against their faith.
Okay, so if the specifics provided by Chris Brook are accurate in your mind, Ken Klukowski, how is what's being said not proselytizing, and how is what he just said about the county commission not an indication that they're trying to establish a state religion in Rowan County?
Several things that I'll try and hit quickly. First of all, regarding proselytizing, your listeners don't have to take my word for it. Just look it up in the dictionary. It means to preach conversion. It means to call upon the hearer to change to the religion of the speaker. I mean, we don't make up definitions for these words. They're actually standard English language. Now, every prayer, to an extent, can be argued to advance a religion. That's what was behind the lawsuit in Marsh v. Chambers. That's what was in Town of Greece. The arguments you're hearing today were made 4 years ago at the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court rejected all of them. And the line that they drew is this, is that they said, you know, this is all, as the professor said a moment ago about the lemon test. The lemon test, or in its modern form, the endorsement test, whether an observer believes the government is endorsing religion. That test, which has been laden to hostility towards religion for decades now, the Supreme Court is stepping away from it. Justice Kennedy, in fact, wrote the dissent in 1989 where he argued that this hostile test was a fundamental misinterpretation of the Establishment Clause and must be rejected in favor of this coercion principle we've been discussing. And my friend Chris used the word elemental. The only time that comes up in Town of Greece is where Justice Kennedy says it's an elemental First Amendment principle that no one can be coerced by the government to participate in a religious activity. He went on to say, people hearing prayers they don't agree with may offend them. They may make them feel excluded. They might make them feel uncomfortable. But then he said explicitly, quote, offense does not equate to coercion. It is instead,
okay,
going back to this lemon.
Can I jump in a little bit?
Yes, Fredo, go ahead.
So we can argue all day, I suppose, about what proselytizing is and about the death or life of the lemon test. But what was, I just want to point out that in all of these cases, what the court has said is that a legislative prayer is something that has historically been done and is lawful. And they describe that in the same opinion that you just heard about, that the purpose of it is to solemnize the meeting. And so the words of from Town of Greece, prayer that is solemn and respectful in tone, that invites lawmakers to reflect upon shared ideals and common ends before they embark on the fractious business of governing, serves that legitimate function. So in my view, and again, I'm neutral on this, whether it's proselytizing or not, but the point is the purpose here, and that's the first prong of the lemon test, is what is this purpose? Is there a religious purpose or is there a secular purpose?
I want to come back. Gumpster, go ahead. Finish your thoughts.
So I think with all of these cases are saying that what is lawful is a legislative prayer, and that has a definition that's really about focusing on the work at hand.
I want to come back to this Town of Greece case that's continually being referred to, because a lot of people listening may not have any familiarity with it at all. But before we do that, let me ask you about this, Freda Bluestein. You wrote an article earlier this month attempting to identify the kinds of prayer practices that are legally acceptable and those that are prohibited. Can you boil it down for us?
Well, what we know is that it's not illegal for there to be a paid chaplain. What kinds of prayers? There will probably be still some disagreement about this, but in the case of Town of Greece, well, after Marsh, there was some notion that all the prayers couldn't be that they had to be non-sectarian. Town of Greece said it was okay that they were all of a single religion, but the important facts in that case was that other religions were offered the opportunity to participate, so it wasn't a closed system. So I think there's nothing that prohibits sectarian prayers, but it can't be exclusively so.
One slight correction. Other faiths were not invited. Only houses of worship were invited, and every single one in the town was Christian. They also allowed community volunteers of any faith to volunteer. So other faiths were not invited, but they were welcome.
So, Freda,
right.
the high...
So that point being, it can't be a closed system like it is in Rowan County.
If I'm correct, Freda Bluestein, the High Court has never specifically addressed lawmaker-led prayer. Is that true?
That's correct.
And is that right. How significant is that?
Well, it depends on where you sit. This is a core thing. Some judges and some advocates say there's never been a mention of it, so that means it's not important. Other people say it's never come up, so it never needed to be mentioned. And some people take the position that if it's actually the legislators themselves, that has comes much more closely to the government adopting a state religion.
And I just want to—I don't think I'm differing here from Professor Bluestein, but I do want to add a little bit of a gloss here. First, the broader point is correct, that the Supreme Court has never dealt with a circumstance where it involved exclusively legislators leading legislative prayer. And I think that silence, and this is something that Judge Motz on the Fourth Circuit in her concurrence highlighted, that silence speaks to the fact that this is not a historical tradition that's deeply entrenched in the way that we do legislative prayer in the United States. But the second point that I will make there is that there was some diversity on the Town of Greece in the prayers that were delivered in Town of Greece. You heard from Jewish members of the community. You heard from Baha'i members of the community. You heard from a Wiccan member of the community. There's no way whatsoever for there to be any reflection of diversity. And one of the things that very much troubled Judge Wilkinson, his majority opinion for the Fourth Circuit sitting en banc, all 15 judges together, was that this results and has in fact resulted in Rowan County in these prayer practices being on the ballot. And the First Amendment is an individual right that protects everyone's individual rights, and it shouldn't be something that's put to a majority
vote. Let's talk just a second about this Town of Greece case that is being specifically mentioned time after time. This is New York State, Town of Greece versus Galloway. It was alleged that commissioners there coerced attendees by asking them to, quote, rise and assume a reverent position for the prayers. But the court said that polite requests don't mandate participation, even if elected officials and not chaplains say the prayer. So, Josh, isn't this exactly what's going on in Rowan County?
Yes. One thing I'd like to say is just to read from this. Chris said for a second about the Fourth Circuit, and he sort of briefly talked about what Judge Wilkinson said. I don't think we've mentioned this yet, but in the Sixth Circuit, there's this Jackson County, Michigan case that's going on roughly at the same time as Rowan County's.
Which is also my case.
Right. And I just want to – there's this really interesting statement I found in the opinion as I was rereading it. And it goes, put simply, we find it insignificant that prayer givers in this case are publicly elected officials. In our view and consistent with our nation's historic tradition, prayers by agents – like in Marsh and Town of Greece, are not constitutionally different from prayers offered by principals. Now, Judge Wilkinson would disagree with that, but there is some debate
Judge Wilkinson is the Roland County Appeals Court judge.
He's the one who wrote the majority opinion in the most recent decision.
Okay.
And so
–
In the Fourth Circuit. So in his case, he says that the fact that these legislators are giving the prayers means that it's the government endorsing a religion. – And there's a whole there's a number of other factors he considers. You got to consider things holistically. But, you know, in the Sixth Circuit, what they're saying is, okay, it's not different. If you have a chaplain, if you have a legislator, they're not different. And I know that
and the clause that I was pointing to in regards to Professor Bluestein's comment that this has never been in front of them and the Supreme Court has never weighed in on this directly is I think Justice Kennedy in his controlling opinion in Town of Greece does touch on this, where he says that, listen, if there were these comments, let us pray, please pray with me, it would be a different circumstance if that please pray with me instead of coming from an invited chaplain was coming from the elected official themselves, if it was the embodiment of the state that was saying please pray with me. So there was a line drawn in the sand, and it was done very, very quickly by Justice Kennedy.
Well, hold it. And in your view, that's what, Chris Brooks, that's what's happening in Rowan County?
Yeah, that's absolutely what's happening in Rowan County.
Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm certainly going to push back on that because Josh touched on the key word. Judge Wilkinson regards this as an endorsement. Judge Wilkinson was coming back, bringing in the Lemon Test and the endorsement test that were the basis of his 2011 case for the Fourth Circuit striking down Christian prayers. This is, in fact, as what the dissenting judges from the Fourth Circuit, Judge Niemeyer, said. He said, to read the majority opinion here, you would think that the dissenting opinion in Town of Greece was instead the majority opinion for the Supreme Court, because all the arguments that were made in this case were made, and I've except for lawmakers giving the prayer, that is really the sole distinction here, and I'll explain why that's not significant, as the Sixth Circuit says. But aside from that, every argument that was made in this case was made and rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court, either in Marsh or in Town of Greece. In Marsh, it was a closed system, only a Christian prayer giver for 16 years. In Town of Greece, these other faiths that were referenced, that's less than a half dozen prayers over a decade. The argument before the Supreme Court was that it was virtually an exclusively Christian practice. As the Sixth Circuit noted, it goes back centuries to have legislator-led prayer, and it's worth noting that of the 3,000 counties in the United States, roughly half of them have legislator-led prayer. If this case were to go the other way, it would cut Town of Greece in half. And again, it's trying to get back to the endorsement test that was applied in previous cases before the Supreme Court explicitly said that has no example here at all. Beyond that, the fact that people here were jeered and booed, that's terrible. It did not come from the legislators. It came from audience members, just as people who don't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance can evoke a reaction from some people.
Ken Kukowski is the senior counsel for First Liberty Institute. They're representing Rowan County. Chris Brooks with the ACLU representing the plaintiffs. Freda Bluestein is UNC School of Government. Josh Bergeron from the Salisbury Post. We're coming right back. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members at Henderson Properties, a full-service real estate investment company serving the Charlotte region for over 26 years. From purchase negotiations to renovations and managing the rental, Henderson is committed to its clients. InvestHP.com. And NC Warn presenting Clean Path 2025. That's a strategy to slow climate change, save money, and create jobs with local solar power and battery storage. NCWarn.org. 50 people were injured overnight or killed overnight in Las Vegas. Nearly 400 people were sent to the hospital. We're keeping tabs on that as we go through the day here at WFAE, and I'm sure that On Point will be addressing this as well, coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock. We'll continue to talk about prayer at public meetings and the intersection of prayer and the separation of church and state in a moment.
All Things Considered on WFAE puts you in touch with people and their stories.
Never thought about being a cop. I never had thought about that. But the practical reality was I needed a job. And honestly, from the day I stepped into a uniform, I knew it. I had that feeling. This was it. This is what I was meant to do.
Listen weekday afternoons from 4 to 6:30 for All Things Considered from NPR News and 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We are talking about prayer at public meetings and the constitutionality thereof, specifically about Rowan County, where there is a case that has been decided upon negatively by the Fourth Circuit Court about Rowan County commissioners saying prayers before meetings, which the county would like to go have a hearing at the Supreme Court. Represented by Ken Klukowski's organization, First Liberty Institute, Chris Brook is the attorney for the legal director for the ACLU. They are representing the defendants, three Rowan County residents in this case. Freda Bluestein is professor of public law and government at UNC School of Government, and Josh Bergeron is joining us from the Charlotte Post, where he is a reporter. In the Fourth Circuit Court's Rowan County decision, in a dissenting opinion, Judge Stephen Agee wrote that the majority assigned significance to the fact that lawmakers offered prayers and pointed out that previous court decisions failed to attach significance to who said those prayers. Is that, in fact, right of the crux of this case?
Of the Rowan County case?
Yes.
Well, the majority opinion is, as was already noticed, sort of a holistic approach. So definitely the fact that board members are providing the prayers, but also the fact that they're all of the same religion and that it's a closed system and that it occurs in a local government setting. And it's true that the town of Greece dealt with the local government setting and said it didn't make any difference. But this is where, again, every single one of these cases has said this is a fact-specific question. So the argument in the decision, the minority opinion, is that the combination of these things. So maybe it wouldn't be such a big deal if the board members, or let's move it back to a legislative setting. If it's a legislative setting, you know, there's hundreds of legislators. There's likely to be some diversity there, and if the legislators make the prayers, perhaps that's not as much of a problem. Hmm. But it was the unique combination of you have all of the board members both solely, and so that was a closed system, and it's a small setting, and the people in the Marsh case, the prayers were literally given to the body, which was a large body. Here, the prayers are given to the citizens who are there to do business directly with those people. Mm. So the argument is it's not only just the board members giving them, it's that all of them give them and that all of them are of the same religion, and so there's no possibility of any other religion being represented. That's the combination. And so the argument that, you know, Town of Greece talked about these things, well, they talked about those things in a different context with different facts.
Chris Brook, would the plaintiffs be all right had these prayers been given by a member of the clergy or somebody not on the county commission board?
Well, everyone understands what Town of Greece says, and it very plainly states that if they're going to be invited clergy, that's going to be viewed as slightly different than when you have the very embodiment of the state delivering the prayers. And Nan, Bob, and Lisa fully understand what Town of Greece stood for. But to amplify on what Professor Bluestein was saying, certainly the fact that these prayers are exclusively and only led by county commissioners who later in that meeting will be, you know, judging Rowan County residents' zoning variance request, certainly that fact is relevant. There are also other facts that are distinguishing from Town of Greece and from the precedent in this area of the law. The fact that the direction to please pray with me, let's pray together, comes from a county commissioner is something that is not found in Town of Greece whatsoever. The Sixth Circuit majority opinion, which has been referenced by Mr. Klukowski throughout the course of the hour, says, listen, there's some distinguishing facts between what was happening in the Fourth Circuit in Lund and what happened here in the Bournemouth case. And they highlight the fact that there were often proselytizing prayers from Rowan County commissioners, and there was simply not a record of that in Bournemouth, the Sixth Circuit case that's been referenced. or in the Town of Greece case. This has resulted, and very predictably, in a divisive and coercive setting. You know, I think, you know, on the one hand, I'm glad to hear Mr. Kukowski say that it's not a good thing that folks who want a different, more inclusive, more welcoming prayer practice should not be jeered. But the fact that he's highlighting that that jeering was not coming from the county commissioners themselves really highlights that he's trying to shrink the Establishment Clause down to a nullity. And Judge Wilkinson gets it right. He highlights that this is not just a peripheral matter in our democracy when he says the great promise of the Establishment Clause is that religion will not operate as an instrument of division in our nation.
Well, in writing,
that is how it has operated. That's how Rowan County, the commissioners, unfortunately, have operated their practice in their community.
In writing for the majority, Ken Klukowski, Judge Harvey Wilkinson said that Rowan County identified its local government with Christianity and risked conveying a message of exclusion. The county, of course, disagrees. But how does that not come into conflict with the so-called Establishment Clause of the First Amendment?
Well, because that's the endorsement test. And the Supreme Court made explicit in Town of Greece that the endorsement, that is the language. The language you quoted, that's from a line of Supreme Court cases that are endorsement test cases. And the Supreme Court went on for a couple pages unnecessarily because the plaintiffs abandoned their endorsement argument when they got to the Supreme Court. They got a new lead counsel who surely told them it was a losing argument. They only argued coercion, and that came up and was discussed at oral argument, was, look, so you're all arguing coercion now. No one is arguing endorsement. The language you quoted from the Fourth Circuit is endorsement language. Beyond that, my friend has actually changed his argument. When they filed their lawsuit, they said, we don't want to hear Christian prayers. Now, after Town of Greece, that became a loser of an argument, so they've reinvented their case. But look at their initial briefing, look at their legal complaint when they filed the lawsuit. They said, we don't want to hear prayers with Christian content that we don't support. That was
throughout the course. Throughout the course of the case.
Hang on 1 second. I'm still speaking. That was the argument there. And the other argument that was also made was, in Town of Greece, if you are the chaplain, is the chosen representative giving the prayer here, the same argument was made that there are citizens here who are about to ask for a zoning variance. The lawmakers will see them refusing to participate in the prayer. This makes them uncomfortable. This makes them feel coerced. And the Supreme Court majority said, no, that's not coercion. As long as there's no evidence that the government is taking official action against them, allocating government benefits or opposition based on those people's refusal to participate in prayer. They said, so long as that's not going on, the fact that they're hearing a prayer they don't agree with, if the government is not coercing them to participate in it, the fact that they're there and don't like what they're hearing does not violate the establishment.
Okay, so Ken, hit the pause button, Ken. Let Chris speak now. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to be clear here because I fear that we're at the risk of misrepresenting Nan, Lisa, and Bob's lawsuit. From the outset, when this lawsuit was filed, they have argued that this established a coercive environment that coerced them to participate in prayer practices. That has been a consistent argument put forward by the plaintiffs in this case since 2013. So this idea that there's been an entirely new argument adopted is just not borne out by the facts.
I think, Chris, when we talked before, mm-hmm. I think I asked you that specific question before, and I think the point you made, and I think what the filings show is that instead of, you know, moving an entirely new argument in and moving a current argument out, it was a shift in prominence. And although we don't find the Christian part, I'm not sure if it's still in there, but I know it's definitely not as prominent. The coercion part was definitely still in the lawsuit in that initial complaint.
Yeah, and that absolutely reflects the fact that there has been some change in the case law in regards to this. The Fourth Circuit used to have a test that stressed quite a bit whether the prayer practice was sectarian or not, to the exclusion of other factors. The Town of Greece decision obviously changed the reality surrounding that. And we have brought to the forefront the coercion argument. But first, the facts of how divisive this prayer practice has been in Rowan County. really do bear out the fact that this is a coercive prayer practice, and that's been a central plank in our arguments from the outset.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the divisive nature of this in Ruane County in a second, but Freda, you can say something. You can say what you want to say, but I want to ask you specifically how the First Amendment applies in this case, because the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. City councils and county commissions are not Congress. Are they automatically included in the First Amendment because they're government, or has it already
basically
been decided in
automatic,
previous cases?
They're included by virtue of the 14th Amendment.
Okay.
So the 14th Amendment applies that to states.
Okay. All right.
Local governments are subdivisions of states.
Okay.
I was going to go in a different direction, but I was just curious to ask Ken a question. I understand that, you know, we're not under the Lemon Test, but just for the lay people who might be listening, the first prong of that is that a government action that is challenged under the Establishment Clause, the first question under that is whether it has a bona fide secular or religious purpose. And I'm going back to the idea that this is legislative prayer. So is it your contention that because that the Lemon Test doesn't apply, that it's okay to have a religious purpose?
Actually, That was argued in Town of Greece. And the best reading of Town of Greece is that is why the court weighed in. Because going into Town of Greece, everyone says this flunks Lemon because this has a religious purpose. There's no secular purpose. And you see the court inserting the language to say, opening the very language that you quoted, and thank you for that, about the purpose for solemnizing prayers at the outset of a governmental body. But the reality that we come to then in this case is that we have people are arguing about four different things and then the identity of the prayer giver. And at root, our argument is that if each of those four is okay, and if the courts previously have said, without speaking of lawmakers specifically, have said broadly that the identity of the prayer giver is irrelevant, we're saying that to add those four things that have been explicitly okayed, plus the one thing that they said was irrelevant, when you combine all five together, it does not somehow then become unconstitutional.
Let me share with you some thoughts from listeners as they've been listening this morning. Alan in Charlotte says, yes, the Continental Congress had one or more chaplains. Both houses of Congress have had their own chaplains, and they still do to this day. I don't think prayer at Ruane County meetings began in 2007. My guess would be that prayer has opened their meetings since the county was created in the 18th century. And you're shaking your head. Yes, Josh.
Yes.
Polly on Twitter, they open Union County meetings with a prayer as well. It makes me uncomfortable and discourages me from going to more meetings. Religion needs to be kept separate from government. If you want to pray, do it before you come out to the meeting. Muhammad in Charlotte writes, it is mind-blowing that we still have prayers in city council and municipal meetings in 2017. If the elected members were making Muslim prayers, would we even be having this conversation? If this does go to the Supreme Court, what would the timeline of a decision be as to when it could be rendered? We'll get to that answer in a second. And finally, Charlotte on Twitter writes, public prayer is non-inclusive and lacks any compassion that there might be other religions represented at meetings. There is absolutely no reason to open with a prayer. Frankly, it shows closed-mindedness and desire to keep those who are different out. Is that part of your argument, Chris?
I think that part of our argument here is in these circumstances, under these facts, that the county commissioners have made very, very plain that they think less of non-Christians in the community. They have spoken of those who have questioned their prayer practice as engaging in persecution. The chair of the county commission, when this case was filed, said the following, and this was about a matter of about whether there was going to be religious instruction in public schools in Ruane County. He said, I'm sick and tired of being told by the minority what's best for the majority. My friends, we've come a long way, the wrong way. We call evil good and good evil. How could you be someone like Lisa, Bob, Nan, not hold the same religious beliefs as our the only religious beliefs that are ever reflected in Ruane County, and not feel as though you're being coerced to adopt those beliefs given this practice? All the plaintiffs ever want is for the meetings of their county commission to be welcoming to all, and no one seeking to participate in local government should fear being forced by their elected officials to participate in prayers or be discriminated against if they fail to do so. And unfortunately, we've seen the exact sort of opprobrium that Justice Kennedy warned against in Town of Greece.
So I have about a minute left. Josh, the county commission voted unanimously to take this case, or to try to take this case, to the Supreme Court. They may or may not hear it, but they voted unanimously. And how do people, either at the meetings or throughout the county that you've talked with or heard from, feel about this?
I think a majority of the people that live in Rowan County support what county commissioners are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just sort of because of the general makeup of the county, the people who live there. But I think Chris's point is that the will of the majority should not exclude, you know, it should not discriminate against the minority population. And so it's a balancing test, I think. Although you've got a majority of the people who support the prayer, that shouldn't be, you shouldn't exclude.
As we wait for the Supreme Court to decide whether or not they're going to hear this case, are prayers still being said at county commission meetings?
A volunteer chaplain offers prayers at the start of meetings,
still,
not commissions.
Still in Jesus' name?
Still in Jesus' name.
What's the likelihood the Supreme Court will take this case? It's pretty good, isn't it? Because I'm told this is the most significant prayer case since Greece versus Galloway.
This is a non-bank circuit split, so the odds are high. But the commissioners think no less of people who have other faiths, and if someone of another faith is ever elected to the commission, they can pray in their faith tradition as well.
Ken Kuklowski with First Liberty Institute, Chris Brook with the ACLU, Freda Bluestein with UNC School of Government, Josh Bergeron, Salzburg.